Thank you very much for joining me, Greg.
You're welcome. How are you?
I'm going quite well. And Greg, can you tell us a bit more about this SBS documentary?
Yeah, it was a project. It was a couple of years in the making. So a producer visited the community of Ngukur, where Angelina Joshua lives, who is the narrator or the storyteller of the documentary. She visited a couple of years ago and I think was quite taken with the story about Indigenous languages and how endangered they are in Angelina's community and the efforts that she and other people in the community are going to try and keep those languages going. So, the idea, I guess, was a really nice arts-based project combining animation, storytelling, language learning aspects to it, and this interactivity of it, which produced a really beautiful website. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but, yeah, it's quite moving as well as, interesting story.
And looking at this sort of issue here, what can it mean to a community to lose a language?
A language is tied to your heritage, your family, and your identity, and your cultural identity. So I think in Australia, and especially in colonized countries, when your language is lost, it's really in your face that what has happened to your culture in terms of being dominated by colonizing people. So if you want to hang on to your identity as your own distinct group, as apart from the colonizers, language is really tied to that. So when you see a language being lost, it affects you at a personal level, at a cultural level, and this feeling that of being lost in a more dominant culture.
And what kind of effects can this sort of disintegration of cultural identity kind of lead to that we might be seeing?
I can't put words in people's mouths who go through this. I'm very fortunate I'm from the dominant culture. But, it's hard to remove it, I guess, from just the sort of systematic oppression that happens when colonization occurs, if you want to put it in those reasonably strong terms. So language loss is a part of dispossession and oppression and coming under the power of a more dominant group. So it's tied to all of those things, and
And Greg, with the technology is sort of this, the internet and all this, we have online repositories of information, we have access to all sorts of things basically at will. Can technology help save languages and not only destroy them?
It's a tricky thing. I mean, we sort of see the proliferation of the internet and social media, and it's going deep into remote communities in Australia as well. And it's hard to gauge what the effects are because, on the one hand, English is so dominant, but I read an article last week, and I make the point that when we message each other on mobile phones or using social media, the way we write or type is actually a lot more like how we talk. So in one way, using the internet or Facebook or messaging, it actually kind of lends itself to using your first language. So if you are speaking a language other than English, it's actually a lot easier to do on something like a messaging app rather than before the internet when you would just be writing letters. So in that way, it kind of actually, for some people, it brings oral languages and what people speak every day into the digital world. But it's a tricky thing because obviously the interfaces and everything is always in English, so you need English to get there in the first place. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in a way.
And how else might we be able to incorporate then Indigenous cultures into the 21st century? I mean, obviously, documentaries like My Grandmother's Lingo can provide an important part memorializing or remembering it and looking at the issue, but how else can we kind of bring it into our lives?
I think it's just, the first thing is to think about the audience. So, the community itself, the priority for them is to support people of whose heritage language that is, so say Mara people. So the priority for those guys is usually to ensure that the Mara people who don't speak their language have the opportunity to learn. So you kind of have two different audiences in mind, and then the other one, which is more to do with My Grandmother's Lingo, is a broader audience and trying to bring outsiders into that. And understand a bit more about what is going on with in terms of language loss. So if you're thinking about the community audience, there's a lot of things you can do, such as producing dictionaries that are online and have audio linked to them. That's useful. I mean, it'd be great if my grandmother's lingo could be expanded to include a whole lot more vocabulary. But just putting videos on YouTube and that sort of thing that the community makes and the community wants to watch, I mean, that serves a real great purpose for strengthening the language. And obviously outsiders can access that. But if you want to make stuff that's more for an outside audience, you kind of do need a slightly different approach.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Greg, for joining us this morning to speak about it.
You're welcome, Sam. Thank you.